Welcome to the Gear Vlogs podcast, episode number 14. Today's guest is Merrick from Merrick Media. And hi, Eric Merrick.
Hi. What's up, man?
Man, I'm still trying to work off my first cup of coffee, so I'm a little...
Oh, yeah.
It was a late night for me.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of those, for sure.
Okay, man. So... introduce yourself to my audience, Merrick. I know I've known you. You have a presence on Instagram and on social media. So let's introduce everybody who's within the car community who's following this podcast, listening to it, or viewing it on YouTube to so they get a little background behind you.
Yeah, sure. My name is Merrick. I've been doing car stuff for a long time. I'm originally from South Carolina. And through certain events, I wound up in Texas, where really my whole photography, videography, getting into the car scene kind of blossomed. I've always been into cars since I was a little kid. You know, driving, you know, in the back seat, you know, watching the cars across the highway, you know, just, you know, picking out cars. You know, I've always liked cars, but it's really been the last few years that I've kind of found myself in a position to be around cars 24/7, and it's now my life.
Cool. So, like I said, so like, was it like straight out of high school, college when you took up photography, or I don't know if your background? I know, did you serve in the military? I don't know if you have. Or...
Yeah. Right after high school, I joined the military. I was in the Army.
Thank you for your service.
We appreciate the support. joined the Army right out of high school, and you know, not too much car stuff going on there. It wasn't until I moved to my second duty station, which is Fort Stewart, Georgia, that I really started to get into the car thing. But I got into photography. A couple years in, right after I got back from deployment, I really got heavy into photography. I literally just picked up, you know, your cheap Walmart camera and just went out there and started shooting. Right. My initial goals was never car photography. It was sports photography is what I really wanted to do. So growing up in South Carolina, of course, in the southeast of the United States, football is king, and we love our college football. I'm a big South Carolina Gamecocks fan, and that was my goal. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go on the field. I wanted to take pictures of my boys playing.
Cool.
but turns out you can't just do that.
Right.
So so what I had to do was I had to adapt, and I had to turn into something that I had no intention of doing, but I ended up killing it at it. It was being a sports writer. Okay. I was a sports writer for 4 years covering the University of South Carolina through various websites. My first website was True School Sports, but that doesn't exist anymore. And after that, I got into a division off of Sports Illustrated, where I was the head guy, the head editor for all things South Carolina. But anyways, going back to photography stuff, South Carolina... the University of South Carolina is very old school. So if you're not a part of a paper, mm-hmm. like a newspaper or a magazine, something hard copy, something tangible, they won't let you do any of the media stuff.
So it's kind of like before the age of social media, I guess, took place then, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, no, social media was still the thing, and you know, the internet was still the thing, but just like I said, South Carolina is just really, really old school.
Okay.
So I busted my butt for, you know, three and a half years or so, and I had built up enough reputation to be able to do that stuff. So it was, you know, I was able to get on the field. I was able to do the press box thing. I was able to, you know, go to the conference room, and I don't know if anybody's a sports guy or whatever, but this was back when Steve Spurrier was doing his thing at USC, and so that was cool. I got to do all that. I got to experience it doing the sports things. But yeah, that's really what kind of directed me in the photography area. It was just, I had a goal, I set it, and I met it. And so then it was, okay, well, what's the next thing? Well, cars, obviously, cars. I love cars. So why not take pictures of cars? And honestly, my real inspiration, especially for doing videography for these car things, was 8080. I just met with Stefan down in 8080 a week ago, and I told him this. You know, I was, when they started doing their giveaways,
right?
The production and the video of like one particular car and just showing all the different angles and all the things, like, that was my inspiration. I was like, you know what? I think I can do that. And so I just put the time and effort into it, and I learned to do it.
And it's something I definitely, it shows in your work. I'm going to actually pull up some of your Instagram page right now. I'm going to go over to your Instagram page right now and show the viewers what your work's like. And you got a little bit of mix of still photos as well as videos, I believe.
Yeah, I got a few videos on there. I was going to start doing videos on Instagram, but I'm just kind of keeping it all pictures for now.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, it's kind of hard finding that balance between video and photos. And, yeah, I probably need to clean up my IG page myself and go one direction or not. It's like I'm all over the place trying to use social media wherever I can to promote the channels and outlets. So,
cool. Yeah, I used to do that. It was very sporadic. But then I was like, you know what? These grids are starting to look better, like when you do sequences and stuff. So I started doing that.
Cool, cool, cool. Let's see. I want to ask, so what's your go-to gear for like your camera gear that you use these days?
Well, right now I have a Canon 80D with a Sigma Art 18-35 at 1.8, and that's my go-to. That's what I shoot all my stuff on.
Cool. I'm actually kind of surprised to say that you're using a Canon 80D, because that's what I'm using, but you know, most like all the other photographers I know out there, they're using like a 5D Mark whatever or a 1D. Yeah. So I'm like going a full frame.
Well, I needed a camera, you know, because my situation's a little unique. You know, I'm the media guy for European Audio Group, so I needed something that could do video and pictures.
Okay.
You know, and stay quality. My next soon I'll be going away from Canon. I'll be picking up the Sonys for sure, because they're just on a next level right now, and I'm getting behind. So it's time to
make the jump.
Time to scrap the old Canon. Yeah, it's time to jump.
I know that feeling. It's like, for me, it's like, well, from last year, and I'm not sure if you remember last year how much my back was killing me last year at SEMA, and I made the decision of, before the cancellation of SEMA, that I was doing up a mobile GoPro rig just for conducting my interviews and filming, and I would use my cell phone for whatever stills I needed. But, it's amazing. But, yeah, I see the advantage of with Sony's. They're light cameras. You have the option on all the different lenses.
And yeah, you got 4K, 120 frames a second, all the things. It's perfect.
Yeah, well, question I want to ask you also, what would you recommend for somebody who wants to start like doing roller shots, you know, video roller shots? Any kind of tips you could give?
To do video rollers?
Yeah, you know, like you kind of like see them like the, driving alongside a car, you know, those nice, smooth, buttery shots. I think WashU Media, I think, does a really good job of doing that. Have you ever seen any of their videos?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's see. Video rollers. The first thing you need to do is make sure you're secure.
Right. Yeah, no kidding on that. Not falling
make
out.
Make sure you're secure. Because, you know, you're going to be hanging out the window, or at least that's what I do. Some people say it's unconventional, but hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get the shot. You know, whether it's for picture rollers or video rollers, you know, you're hanging out the window, trying to get as low as you can, get the different angles and things.
Right.
Stabilizer for sure. You know, get a stabilizer, whatever camera you got, stick it on there. And, a lot of it is, post, a lot of stuff you do is in post, stabilizing the footage or whatever it is. But
true.
But yeah, just to get started, just slap a camera on a stabilizer and hang out the window.
Cool, cool, cool. Let's move on. I'm going to move over to a little bit. You want to talk a little bit about the AG European Auto Group and any kind of projects that you're allowed to talk about, or would you can?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of stuff going on. If anybody's going to look us up, it's European Auto Group on YouTube. You'll find us. We're not big per se on the YouTube spectrum, but we're there. You can find us.
Well, you're growing. Your YouTube channel is reading like 13,300 subscribers, so you're doing pretty good right there, I would think.
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're doing all right. It's getting those people that watch to click that subscribe button. That's literally the hardest part. But yeah, no, we do the YouTube thing, and let's see what we got going on right now. If you look at it, we haven't posted in 2 months, but there's a reason for that. And yeah. I don't know if I can say. I don't know if I can quite say why and where we've been, because we do have a very, very special video getting ready to come out within the next week or so. It's a project that we were working on that we didn't tell anybody we were doing, and it's going to be a reveal, and we're going to drive this thing. It's going to be epic and awesome. But then once that video comes out, we'll start doing, more on the Huracan that we're doing. We're making the world's first gated 6-speed Lamborghini Huracan.
Yeah, I see that on the video page right now. Part one, I guess, has already been released.
Yeah, part one has been released. We haven't done part two because we've been doing something else. And the reason why we didn't vlog any of that is because, what we do is proprietary.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's why we didn't show much. But don't worry. We're coming back soon. Just bear with us. Soon it'll be content. It'll be so much content that you won't even be able to keep up.
Remember that first, folks, that you heard it here first. So stay tuned to European Auto Group's YouTube page and social media outlets for some first look information.
we'll actually put some teaser stuff on our Instagram first. And then we'll post some teaser stuff on our TikTok, and then we'll have the full video drop of what's going on. So we're going to tease you. We're going to really end with the tease, and then we're going to just drop it on your face.
Perfect. Perfect.
But yeah, let's see what else we got. Lenny at 430 is coming in, coming out. And that other car that I can't talk about, and then the Huracan. I know everybody's interested in the Huracan because I know there's that other YouTuber that did the manual Huracan.
But well, technically, his wasn't a true Huracan, if it's who I'm thinking it is, because he used technically, it's not.
Computer, yeah, right. It's a Corvette. But,
Hey, I got nothing wrong with him, because what happened to him on one of his other projects, him getting bit slapped by that other company, that kind of sucks,
That's horrible. That's horrible. And, you hate to see it. You really hate to see it.
Well, the thing that upset me about his situation was, couldn't they have just simply did a cease and desist letter and be done with it? But just because of the fact that he named it a certain thing and had it in his videos, that automatically gave them the rights to repossess his.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But what happens is because that name is copyrighted and all that stuff, that gave them legal grounds. I mean, I'm sure he could have fought it, but it wouldn't have been worth the money. Just take the car and move on to the next one.
I agree what you're saying there, but I think I also heard like one of his, I don't know if it was on his Instagram post or maybe Aaron from Life of Paulus mentioned it. But he had that when he wound up texting or Instagram storing, living, that he had to make a bank run to wire money to them. So on top of all of the, insult to injury, which, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's absolutely insane. So what I know is that the lady of the original owner of the car, is just bored and was like, I'm going to capitalize on this. That's what I know. Because it doesn't make any sense. Because that would be like the Fast and Furious franchise going after all these builds, all these replica builds, and just taking their cars.
Yep.
Like, what kind of person does? Who does that? That's crazy.
I know, but it's like, I know. Have you seen the latest, I think it was that Donut Media did a video on the subject, and he brought up some good points and examples. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but if you haven't, it's worth checking out. And
I saw it was up, but I didn't have a chance to watch it yet, no.
Yeah, it's definitely, interesting, basically, the points he brought up. But case in point, what he just was, there's actually a builder in your neck of the woods in Texas, in Dallas, called Video Bob, who does prop builds of cars, and he's like got under his belt like over 30 of the DeLorean, Back to the Future cars under his belt.
Yeah,
and you would think that Universal would be bitch slapping him, but nope, far from it. Nope. They work with him, they fly him out. And I think they even approached him to help them build props for stuff. So it's like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's absolutely insane. It's just that lady is bored and can capitalize on what she did. That's just kind of a kick in the face.
Yeah. Let's change this up and let's get back to something more fun. So, let's see. So, obviously with the current stay-at-home situation, what's the in San Antonio, what's the car culture like out there right now?
Well, it was a lot stricter. We cut off car meets and all that stuff, but we're starting to get those car meets going back, because wearing a mask is mandatory. So
yeah,
as long as we all show up with a mask and hang out, that's fine. It's not a big deal. So it's cool. slowly but surely coming back. It's interesting to see the different takes from different states. Like, I was just in Pennsylvania, and it's kind of like, if you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask kind of thing. But then in Utah, it's literally, or Salt Lake area, it's like in one county it's required, but then, one block down the street it's not. So it's just interesting to see how different states are handling all of this.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, with us, it's like the same thing. It's like, if I'm going to go to the grocery store or something, yeah, of course I'm going to wear a mask or whatever. But if I'm going to just go be walking around my block with my mom, making sure she doesn't fall down or whatever, and I'm not going to be around anybody, I'm just going to not wear my mask. Because, 95-plus degree, weather, wearing a mask, it's like, yeah, you know what I mean. You got hot temperatures.
Especially here.
Exactly.
It's a billion degrees outside. This is not fun.
Exactly.
But, courtesy, you'll wear a mask. It's not a big deal.
Exactly. And social distancing and, whatever. Yeah, and so hopefully they'll get this stuff under control. But, as I was mentioning on the SEMA cancellation video that I did, that there was an ad note in one of the show notes that they said for Nevada had stated that if you're a traveler from California, we advise you to postpone your plans coming into Nevada. I'm like going, wow. That's bad.
Yeah, it's crazy though, because they're like, oh my goodness, social distancing. But I can tell you that I was just on a freaking airplane where none of that matters. None of that matters.
So nobody was actually wearing them. I was going to ask you that because I know you said you were flying. So it's like,
yeah, so you got to wear a mask, right? The whole time. The whole time you're in the airport, the whole time you're in a plane, you got to wear a mask. But then they pack you in there like sardines and there's no social distancing whatsoever. So it's like, what is it? Make up your mind.
Yeah. Okay. So basically you were on the, I haven't traveled in about, who knows how long, but so you're like a good first person experience for me. So meaning people were required to wear masks, but they weren't, or?
Oh no, everybody's wearing masks. You have to, because they're like, if you're not wearing a mask, we'll provide you one. And if you don't want to wear it, then you're not going to fly with us and you could potentially be banned forever. So
may as well. Yeah. Then wear it. Okay. I wasn't want to make sure I was like understanding that correctly, but yeah, it's like, you know what? As long as they got the air circulating and I can still breathe wearing that mask, I'll be fine. I'll put up with it. But that's just me.
It's so fickle. Like, wear a mask, but if you're taking a drink, you can take it off. And it's like, well, what? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
makes
that
the mix whatever.
or start getting, you know, start supplying a bunch of bendy straws on the airlines.
Yeah, something, man. Like,
Yeah.
something.
Cool. So let's see. So you got any advice you might want to give to little kids who are interested in picking up a car spotting as a hobby, or any advice you might want to give
Yeah,
them?
car spotting or you know photography, videography. Look, the best advice I can give you is to just go shoot. If it's something you're passionate about, if it's something that you love, you know, study, learn your camera, know what it can do, know how to work it, you know, your basics, you know, your ISO, your aperture, shutter speed, all this stuff. Learn it and then just go shoot. Like, 'cause you're only gonna get better. You're only gonna get better. I was shooting for roughly 4 years now, like into it, not just a hobby. For about 4 years, and man, like I go back and look at pictures from, you know, 8 months ago, and I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe I thought that was good. You know, like you learn different things, and you're always evolving, and you're always trying to make yourself better. So, best advice is just go shoot, practice, watch Peter McKinnon, go watch YouTube, like learn your camera,
Perfect.
learn your craft.
Cool. So yeah, definitely. And I'm assuming that you're like in the for your post-production editing, the Adobe platform, or using something else.
Yeah, no, I use the Adobe. I use Premiere for videos, and I use Lightroom Classic
Awesome.
for my pictures.
Perfect. Yeah, eventually I'll make that I think that jump. I'm using the entry level cheap buy standalone programs of Premiere, the Premiere Elements, I think.
Oh, okay.
I just can't afford the $60 a month monthly fees.
Yeah, I know. I wish Adobe would just let you buy it outright, but I get it. Everything's going subscription based now, but
And that's a
kind of annoying.
sad thing about it is because of the fact that they're literally headquartered here in my hometown, and I've known a former workers as well as current workers that work there, and it's like, really? You can't hook up a brother
Yeah,
up?
I know, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, they're
but
very, you know.
yeah, it is what it
But
is.
yeah, no, I like Adobe pretty good. I was using Sony Vegas for a long time, and then I made the switch to Premiere. I was like, holy crap, this is so much better.
Cool. So, not I don't know if this is a would be an appropriate question or not, but have you ever had any collabs that you kind of regret? YouTube collabs or.
Any collabs that I regret? No, I don't think so.
Okay, then how about positive collabs that you've had done?
Oh, well, YouTube wise, I mean, it's always great working with Stradman. It's always great working with Dan, you know, Ed Bullion, Tavares, all those guys. Like, it's always, you know, 'cause they're professional vloggers, and we're professional vloggers too, if you want to put it that way. And no, it's nice 'cause everybody has a nice flow. Everybody knows their cues. It's good.
Cool.
It's really good. Eric too. Eric from Roadmatch. I always love working with that guy.
Okay. Now, like I said, for maybe the smaller guy, that smaller YouTuber, let's say, that wants to try to reach out to somebody like as big as you or something. Any advice you could give on how possibly to reach out to them, propose a possible collab?
Just ask. And
Just
what are they
ask.
going to say? No.
True.
Just ask. You know, I mean, I've gotten a lot farther than I ever thought I would by just simply asking. You know, just ask. I mean, you know, if they're any kind of, I don't know, everybody's different. You know, some of the bigger guys, they're like, oh, I don't, you know, you're too small for me, but I'm not like that at all. Look, if you want advice, if you want help, reach out. If you want to collab, if you want to make videos, like, let's go. Let's do it. I'll help you.
Yep, and that's cool.
But that's just me, yeah, you know, and not everybody's like that, and for reasons. I mean, the other thing is, you know, I don't, you know, we don't have 1 million subscribers either, you know, but even at 1 million subscribers or two or whatever it is, the people that I work with, we're always down. We're always down to help and grow and just be better. We all want to make money. Like, let's do it. We can do it together.
Exactly.
And that's just kind of the mentality that I have. And that, you know, as a young guy starting, you know, you're going to get there, you know, but don't change who you are because you have X amount of followers or you're getting this amount of likes on Instagram. Like, it don't do that. Just be who you are. Stay true to yourself and, you know, help others.
And that's so true. And like, actually, I kind of appreciated you because when we first started talking and I approached you to see if you wanted to come on to this show, you said, sure.
Yeah, I know. And then we've been trying to do this for months, but man, it's been crazy. It's been so crazy.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, that's kind of like what I said. It's like, hey, I'm willing to work with anybody if they're willing to come onto my show and be under the, I guess, hot seat, so to speak, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just wanted to, you know, keep it, you know, friendly. I'm willing to work with people. And the way I look at it in the long run, you know, more exposure is better than no exposure. You know?
Right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. I will say, though, Mr. Man, I was looking at your Instagram.
Yep.
Use hashtags, dude. Use hashtags.
Oh, I've been trying, man, but I've been noticing I've been having a bug on mine, like on the last couple of ones that Instagram would not let me use any hashtags.
Oh.
So it's like, I wonder if I'm on a banned list or something.
I wonder if you're shadow banned. Instagram's fickle, too. They're not. If you like too many things, they don't like it. If you unfollow too many people, they don't. If you follow a lot of people, they don't like it. It's very, very weird.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest problems right now because I was using my Instagram account to like a lot of the people, like industry, companies, you know, people that I eventually want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it's gotten to the point where that list is so big, it's like I'm trying to unsubscribe from a bunch of people, but then they put like a limit of how many people you can unsubscribe per day and all of that other crap.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, people can talk all the trash they want to about TikTok, but I think right now TikTok has the best algorithm to cure your likes. You know what I mean? Like, you know, of course you have, you know, the young kids dancing and doing all the things, you know, whatever. But for us, there is a car community on TikTok. Like, there's so many sub communities. And then when you start liking these things, TikTok figures out, hey, you like car stuff, so we're going to show you car stuff. I think, and they'll show your stuff to other car people.
I have no way of pulling
I
up
think
your...
they have the best algorithm platform right now.
Interesting. Now, like I said, I don't think I could pull up TikTok on my web browser here to show to in the stream, but what type of like comedian, what type of content are you putting on TikTok? Like just photos,
you know,
video?
We do videos. There's a bunch of stuff on the Supra, on our manual Supra on there right now. That exploded us. We're almost at 50,000 followers. It's all car stuff. We try to keep it car related. You know, of course, there's some stupid ones where we're acting a fool and, you know, lighting pizza on fire and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know.
Hey,
cars. It's just kind of like some behind the scenes stuff that you don't really see on the blog.
Well, from what I just heard, I think I heard a story yesterday that TikTok is now committed to where they're going to start paying creators now. So they said like they got like $1 billion.
Starting to run ads now.
Okay, so yeah, they're obviously pushing it now because of what the controversy, what the guy in D.C. in the White House was trying to do, and hopefully Microsoft buys them out. You know.
You know what? Say what you want to about the man. What he did was brilliant. It was an absolute power play.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to ban this thing that's giving all the stuff to China.
Yep.
How can we make it benefit us? Okay, well, we're going to put the pressure on him. Hey, I'm going to ban it. Well, now all of a sudden you've got interest from American companies that want to buy this thing that can benefit us. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's working. Now Microsoft wants to buy. There's another one. There's another stock ticker I'm into right now. That's a TikTok play because they might buy it. Like, it's brilliant.
Well,
absolutely brilliant.
More power to Microsoft. As much as some people hate Microsoft and like Microsoft, I hope they do get it, and I hope they don't screw it up like they did Mixer.
Yeah, right, exactly. I hope they can turn it around. I hope TikTokers can, you know, make money off of it, you know, and hopefully
competition. Yeah, competition
well,
is good.
Well, fingers crossed that we got in at the right time. You know, we built up this thing. We're at 50,000 followers. You know, like maybe we can make some money off of it. Like hopefully that's the next big thing for us. So
just curious, I kind of know what the TikTok platform is because I have a friend of mine who had like a viral video that he did of him going to the airport. He's into novelty type stuff to where he wound up getting like a, you know, those travel suitcase, the hard shell travel suitcases that you have. Some company made like a protective cover shell that you pull over your suitcase that they do custom printed images on it. So he did a picture of his face and he wraps it around it. And he wound up having a viral video of that on TikTok that went like over 1 million views.
Oh, man, dude, I am on the search for 1 million views, man. I've had nothing of mine hit 1 million. We have one video on TikTok that is at 947,000 views.
Congrats, man. That's a good accomplishment there.
Still waiting for that 1 mil, man. I've yet to do it, whether TikTok or Instagram or whatever. I haven't done it. But
Yeah, I'll definitely. So, if people are on TikTok, where can they find your accounts there? Is that one?
Just European Auto Group.
Okay,
look up European Auto Group.
So that's the only one you have for TikTok. You don't have a personal one?
I was thinking about making one. I was thinking about making a Merrick Media one. I don't know how many people would join it, but I'm thinking about doing that kind of doing some shoot stuff, maybe some pictures. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Cool. Hey, okay, Merrick, I'm just noticing here on your Instagram page that you're also the photographer for Slammed Enough. You want to go in and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Slammed Enough. That was a big deal. I got picked up by them. From what I told, they had their eye on me for a while, and they told me to go ahead and apply, and I applied, and I got it. And that's a big deal for me. I got picked up in June. I already have a feature on their website, standingup.com. It's like a coral slammed Acura TLX. It's an insanely clean car. But yeah, I'm already published on there. They put me on all their social media, and so now I get to go and cover their events and stuff, because they have a Slammed Enough event here in Austin. It was going to be this month, but they push it back to November. So that'll be my first Slammed Enough show as a Slammed Enough photographer. So I'm really excited about that. And in the car community, man, as a just to be able to say, hey, I'm a photographer. I do things with Slammed Enough. The response that you get, you know, people that are deep into that kind of, it's a different kind of culture for sure. A lot of lower builds, you know, with the camber and all the things, not necessarily my cup of tea, but definitely the slammed look of cars, but it's a car culture, right? Everybody and their mom putting it on air or bags or whatever it is. And just, you know, when you see a car sitting on the ground, it just looks good. And it's really good for pictures. So.
Yeah, definitely. I have their, Instagram page up, and I'm actually got their main website pulled up right now. So I'm going to, swing on over that so the viewers can check that out.
So there's something going on with the website. They haven't fixed it yet. But if you scroll down onto the features page, you'll see it'll say Justin's Acura TLX, but it has a picture of a BRZ, like a yellow BRZ on it. But that's, if you click it, that's the only picture that's messed up. But you can see all the pictures I took of that car right on that website. They're going to fix it soon. And then I have another feature coming out very, very soon. It's of that Porsche. That black Porsche Pandem wide body Cayman that's recently on my Instagram. That's going to be a feature too, so that'll be up very shortly.
Okay, yeah, I see what they. I guess I'm on the Justin TLX's page. Well, actually, they do have you photos by Merrick, but it's yeah, I see the looks like a Toyota FRS. Somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, it's like FRS or BRZ, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's an FRS. But yeah, they something going on with the website. They're gonna fix it soon. But yeah, that's me. Rest of those photos, that's all me.
Perfect, man. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So yeah, definitely got here. I'm on their web, Instagram page here, and whatnot. So we got that. So cool. Definitely. Like I said, I'll make a list of all your social media contacts. I'll text it to you later to double check me if I missed anything before I added it into the you know, on the video description, whatever, and try to promote the video up or whatever. Maybe you can do a shout out, help me shout out the video too, get some of your followers to check it out and all that fun stuff. And
yeah, I should have a decent should have some people come over, I think.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it. Hopefully I can make this video look good enough, you know, all that fun stuff. So we'll talk later this week, all that fun stuff. So let's perfect there. And one sec. So I was actually talking to a couple of my other buddies since now that SEMA got canceled, and there's still talk that the performance racing industry show still may happen in December in Indianapolis. Have you given any thoughts on possibly going out there to cover it?
What is that?
The performance PRI, Performance Racing Industry Trade Show.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just go to.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, just go to. I think it's PRIRacing.com, I think, should pull up to be their main website. But from what I understand, they haven't even opened up registration to exhibitors or attendees or media yet.
Oh, I guess, well, that's from what not I, a good sign.
Well, from the email that I got from a buddy of mine, he said that they're waiting for the, I guess, the county that where the convention, Indianapolis Convention Center is, to give approval for the show to go on. So it's like people who don't know, it's basically kind of like SEMA, but it's more for the hardcore performance aspect. Like if you're into racing motorsports, that would be the actual show you would probably rather want to go to than just SEMA, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you probably don't care about a manual Huracan then, huh? Or a manual Supra.
I don't know. You, depending if you're selling a kit or not, if you're going to develop a kit to where maybe somebody wants to do the install themselves, maybe.
Yeah, we have kits available. We are selling those kits.
So maybe that's something to, you know, consider. Like, you know, but, well, obviously, you guys know the aspects more of what's involved, because actually, I was looking at some of the ideas of, like, you know, toying with the ideas of if I ever get enough sponsors to help fund the project, like taking a V10 or a V12, you know, Lambo or a, I don't know, maybe even, actually, maybe even a Viper V10 and doing like a mid-engine design on some kind of car, drop it into something in the, you know, a mid-engine project car, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
If we can get a C8 in time, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
no kidding. We want to make a manual C8, but, until somebody can crack that computer, that's really. I mean, we can do a standalone and make it functional, but I mean, that's not the business we're in. We don't do hack jobs.
That's the thing I wanted to ask you. You brought up a good point, because I guess there was like, well, I know a couple of guys who are building our other YouTubers. You got DJ Hunt. I think who else was it?
Yeah.
There was Amelia. Amelia Hartford, but she wound up, but. The thing I was trying to find out the information on is, like you said, nobody has really cracked the code for, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have all these people like Hennessy and stuff that did the twin turbo C8 and blah blah blah. Like it looks cool, but I know they're not pushing that much power. I think it's only like four PSI they can even push out of that thing because they can't get past the computer. So. Like, you have all this money put in there to make power, but you just can't right now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, what was it? Amelia Hartford, she already essentially grenaded her motor But she was using all I could get from the most recent videos that I saw on her. They were using some kind of like piggyback system to be able to tune her car. But they're saying nothing, you know, with the tune was the reason why the car let go. They think they, you know, it was basically materials, whatever, how, you know, the stock, they pushed it past the stock limitations of what the car was capable of is basically what they're claiming. So they basically did a video where they pulled up the car, bought, crated it up, and sent it out to Texas Speed so they can have a, you know, develop a kit or a product now with it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's interesting because of the fact that everyone I've talked to with it and people that I know who have people in the know at GM, they said, yeah, good luck in them trying to crack it. It's not going to happen.
Not anytime soon, that's for sure.
Well, it's kind of like that old adage, if you ever watched, was it Too Fast, Too Furious, where Paul Walker's character goes, you know, to Ludacris's head mechanic and says, hey, Jimmy, can you look at the car? Tell me what you can find.
So, Jimmy, so what's up? You ever seen anything like this before?
Nah, both of them are wired up like I never seen before.
And he comes back, yeah, that thing's so wired up, spidered all throughout the whole system, they'll even know when they, when you're wearing your seatbelt or not.
Yeah.
So it's essentially, that's what GM's approach, I think, is taken. But part of me understanding what GM had approached with the car was because the fact that they wanted to build the car to be able to have over-the-air factory updates, calibration updates for the car. So you figure, okay, if they're going to be doing that, they had to build in a whole bunch of cybersecurity into that car, because look at what today's modern day car thief has. They built up a piece of electronic handheld RFID scanner, you know, scan for what you're doing in your car, follow you to your home, and then, you know, press a button, boom, and they're in your car and bye-bye car.
Pretty much, man.
Yeah, it's crazy shit. Yeah, but yeah,
I just, you know, I'm still a little upset though. I mean, you got, you know, yeah, I mean, they know, like, they're, let me gather my words here for a second.
Yeah.
Like, you have people like Jim that's like, okay, well, we're going to lock down our computer so you can't do anything. We're going to try and keep them proprietary, right? They're kind of taking off the McLaren model where they're proprietary. Like, I get it. But at the same time, but then you have companies like Ford that's coming out with the new, what is it, the new Mach 1 or whatever the hell it's called.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? We're going to leave this stuff open because we're going to let the car community do what they want to with it. I mean, that's the kind of, I mean, that, even if you're, you know, split between, you know, Chevy and Ford or whatever, I mean, I'm going to lean more towards Ford at this point because, you know what? They're letting me do what I want to with the car that I purchased.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm now going to be dating myself way back, but at one time Ford was totally opposite on that aspect, and I'll tell you and the audience this little story. Way back when, before software and chip tuning became available, there was this little guy, this gentleman, never went to school for engineering or anything, self-taught, basically went to the local library, read up. He was from the Detroit, Michigan area, and realized that, you know, with his wife's 89 LX Mustang, that, okay, if I change a set of cams or exhaust headers or go to a bigger throttle body or bigger injectors, that's obviously going to be all affected because the factory computer, you know, doesn't know I made these changes. So he went through the approach of he designed his own circuit board chip. Figured, okay, I can plug it into the back of the factory computer's service port and bypass, you know, intercept the programming, developed his own software, and he was making performance gains and everything. He got so good at this that Ford actually hired him to work with them on their programming in, you know, Ford and on their powertrain department as a contractor. So he was doing that. But then all of a sudden, also personal time, he developed a product where he was basically creating his own standalone data logger that could record all the stuff that was happening, and then we'd give you the ability to go in, edit, make changes, and whatnot. Then Ford gets wind of what he's doing, says, no, So take him to court, try to sue him, saying Ford's argument was basically saying, look, we own, that's proprietary to us, we own it, blah, blah, blah. But him and his lawyers argued, like, going, look, you sold the car, they're not leasing it, it's theirs to do whatever they want. So, you know, long story short, 2-year battle, almost, you know, bankrupted him. He won. And
yeah,
unfortunately, he had to sell the company, which eventually became what was now known as Diablo Sport. And they wound up, from what I understood, he wound up getting control, interest in the company, and then he wound up selling it. And I think Holly Performance Group now owns them. So whatever. But
yeah,
it's kind of like weird. So that it's interesting to hear that they're now taking the approach of, you know, let people do whatever they want with this, as far as cracking the codes and tuning it and whatnot. Because I'm sure that if Ford's worried about, like, saying, oh, you did a bunch of tuning and you blew up your engine, now you're trying to get a warranty out of us, I'm sure they have ways that they can document or prove that, yeah, it was a, you know, your tuning fault or something, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I think that's how they've kind of curved it a little bit. It's like, okay, yeah, sure, it's your car, you can do what you want, however, comma, no warranty.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. I think that pretty much covers it. I'm out of questions I can ask you. So, yeah, if you want to give any final shout-outs of where people can find you and whatnot, and I'll be sure to add them into the video description later. But tell them where they can find all of your social media platforms.
Yeah, sure. I'm on Instagram as Merrick underscore media. But really, I'm just going to plug the European Auto Group stuff because it's my bread and butter. But EAGSATX on Instagram is us. Gate at 6 on Instagram is also us. European Auto Group on TikTok and YouTube as well. You can find everything that we're doing, stay up to date with all the projects we have. And if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, just be ready. Something big coming. It's coming really soon.
Definitely appreciate it, Merrick, and thank you for coming on. And look, if you're a YouTuber out there, and big or small, and you want to come onto the channel to promote your social media and what you're all about, my email is open, so feel free to reach out to me and all that fun stuff. And, you know, all that good stuff there. So, yeah, that pretty much covers that aspect. And I want to do one last thing before I do anything else. And where is it? Before I shut off. Oh, God, I need to figure out how to organize some stuff better here. Here we go. I got that. Boom. Boom. Let's see. Almost got everything. Boom, boom. And boom. Cool. So, thank you for coming on, Merrick. And be sure to follow me on, everyone, be sure to follow me on Instagram, YouTube, comment, like this video, ask questions, and maybe I can get Merrick to come back on and all that fun stuff. So, till next time, see ya, folks.